The following presentation was recorded at the 2013 Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute. More information at thedocforlearning.org.
Well, it's not 3 o'clock yet, but I think we'll go ahead and get started. Okay, well, it sure would be interesting to be able to read each one of you, your minds, and know just exactly why you're concerned about this subject. I take that those of you that are here have interacted with this in some way or another and are concerned about this. And as we go into this session, I have a few things to share, but I would really like for this to be a lot of interaction. I would like to hear from you, so be prepared to share what your experiences are. I have very limited experience with building a budget for a school. I've been doing this for a number of years in our businesses, so budget building is not new to me. But doing it for school is very different than it is for doing it for a business. And some of the motives are different. For one thing, you don't deal with the balance sheet. You don't deal with the profit and loss statement. As such. And so what do you deal with? You basically have a cost center. So in the profit and loss statement, for those of you that like accounting, it would be the overhead portion. And that's all we deal with, is the overhead portion. It's the only section that we have to fill out. Now, some of your schools might own large buildings and you might have a sizable balance sheet. Ours don't. The school is owned by the church, and so we have no balance sheet. So, how many of you have experience with budgeting outside of doing a personal budget, whether it was for a business, whether it was for an organization, maybe it was just one big project that you were responsible for. How many of you have experience in budgeting in itself? Okay, some of you do. I was a little bit unsure of where to go by this because it depends a lot on what your experience is with budgeting. If you are very fluid in understanding budgeting and how to prepare those, put those together, and how to try to stay on track with those, then I don't need to spend much time with that part, but I would like, is there an interest of getting into that part a little bit? How many of you would like for me to cover a bit on that part, on that level? Okay, there's a few of you. We'll spend just a bit of time in that. The core part in building a budget for your school, and the title was set by the planning committee, Practical Steps to Building Your Budget with an All-School Support. And I'm not quite sure if I understood the all-school support, other than I think what they're trying to convey, and the idea is that you're building a budget for a school that isn't just something that the board came up with, and the deacons maybe, and maybe even just the patrons, but it's that everyone involved in the venture of the school supports this. And in our church experience, and school experience, we have for years, every year, we vote on the pay for the teachers. But prior to a few years ago, I don't know that we ever necessarily looked at a school budget and got vote approval for the whole budget. So this teacher, we're going to raise their pay, or we have a new teacher, and this is what we need the pay set at. Does the Brotherhood agree to this? Having said that, that tells you how we fund our school. Mostly, I guess, completely through the general fund at this point. How many of you here work in a school setting where there is none of the money for school comes through the general fund? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, there's a few of you. And How many of you work in a situation where a portion of it comes from the general fund and a portion comes from elsewhere? Okay, a lot more of you. That seems to be a more typical. And if I could see, just a raise of hands, how many of you work with strictly a general fund? Okay, so the last two is about evenly divided. Well, obviously the things that you're going to experience as a school board, or if you're the deacons or whoever, the person responsible to see to that the funds get raised, depending on what structure you're going to have, it's going to be different of how you go about it. The part that's not going to be different is that you have a cost center that needs to be funded, and the money is going to come from people, from businesses, from organizations. It's going to come from somewhere. I have no experience with a setting where it's totally patron funded. Is there any, I don't think I quite covered that question in my raise of hands, where it's only patrons, which as a father, I pay the full cost of putting my students through school. Is there any schools like that here? 1, 2, 3, 4. Wow, I have 6 in school. That can get taxing. I wonder how some families do it. Do you end up having a problem in your schools? Can every family meet those obligations? Is a head shaking back here? No. What about some of the other schools? Do you face issues with that sometimes? Yes. What do you do about those issues, Jonathan?
It can become a deacon need, a brother assistance opportunity. But while I'm teaching in the Russian community, we have lost several families to public school.
Okay.
Okay,
any other input? Okay, maybe we'll, yes, go ahead.
We've started taking church offerings instead of maybe sending money out of missions. See the school as a mission in need.
Excellent.
Families can't pay, take the church offering, help pay and offset.
Excellent. Interesting. Okay, well, the first step, obviously, in being able to meet the needs, whether you're seeking the funding from your patrons or it's through the general fund, however it is, the vision and the purpose has to be shared. Those that are spending the money to send their children to school, whether they're doing it through any one of those avenues, they have to truly believe that the investment is worthwhile. So the programs that you're offering, the things that you're offering your students, the offset, the investment. So in that way, now we do have a P&L. But it's a kingdom P&L, if you will. It's not all math. The one side is, it's not all money. The one side is a financial equation. The other side is an eternal equation. And so what are we providing? What are we as schools doing for our students? A little bit about the budget itself. It's amazing to me how many businesses can function without a budget. And I think sometimes it's luck. Sometimes I think it's because it was maybe a business that you took on from your parents, and you're just keeping the business going. And sometimes it's maybe because you're just really, really smart. But for some of us that aren't so smart, we have to take the time and think things through and pencil it out and then stick to the plans that we came up with. And in business, for years, I've been doing this. Where in the fall, towards the fall, I start preparing for the next year. And we create a very comprehensive budget across all categories, any GL line, general ledger line, that's in my balance sheet or profit and loss is going to have a line in the budget. and we budget the whole thing out, and then the next year, as we go through the year, you have a really good, what I call a steering wheel. You've got a way to see where you're going. You can see the road. You can see which way you're headed. If sales have dropped off, you know really quickly that you're going to have to make some adjustments over here on spending that you plan to do over here. So if you had spent, if you had planned to do some capital expenditures this year, you now know that since the sales dropped off, the revenue is not going to be there to cover that. And in sharing this, I'm assuming that you have basic accounting understanding. If you don't, I propose that you go back to school. And as you work through that budget, and you prepare that budget, the hardest thing to do is not creating the budget. The hardest thing to do is to stick to the budget. It is very easy to create a budget and then take that budget and put it in a drawer somewhere, and maybe the last time you ever seen it until you file the records from that year. The budget is not doing you any good if it's not a part of your daily decision-making process. And so this is just zeroing in on the budgeting process itself. It's not complicated. Let me simplify it for those of you that have never done a budget. Is simply take your school expenses and the treasure for your school, the if it's a church-run school, a general fund, this might be your deacon, whoever's responsible for handling the funds and recording that, entering that into the system, whether it be on paper or in a program such as QuickBooks, that person is going to know how to be able to pull a report and categorize to you exactly what your historical data has been. And that's where you start with your budget. You have to know what your historical data has been. And if you can, look at 2, 3, 4. If you have many years of experience, look at exactly what your historical data has been. And then just simply take that and create the next calendar year and project those same lines on out through there. So you know what your teacher pay is going to be. You know what your books are going to cost, and that's what makes a school budget so easy to do. And it's probably not a tool that is even much needed. You're not going to use this much for decision making and as a steering wheel for you as a school like you would in business, because there's practically no variables. You can find yourself in, as we did in our shoes, at about halfway through the year, or was it just before? Forget what the timing was. We ended up with a smaller student count, and so it pushed our cost per student, which is something that we look closely, it pushed it way up. So there might be a few little variables, but as a whole, there's practically no variables. So whoever the treasurer is and the people that are responsible for the financial aspect of this can create that budget in one short meeting. So you got the picture clear of what the budget is? We just simply took all of our expense lines of historical data and we projected them out over the year. So we have this much for the teachers. And by the way, do that per month. Or if you need to, you can even break it down per week. And so you have your 9 months, your 8.5 months, or your 12 months, depending how your school is structured. And you show exactly how much money needs to come in to cover all your expenses in every financial period. So now you have the budget created. You're prepared with your budget. You know exactly how much you're going to need. And now that budget is what you want to take. And in our case, what we did is we presented that budget to the whole group. In our case, since we're general fund run, while we present that to the whole group, they look across it and then vote that up or down. The first year that we did that, there was a lot of enthusiasm going on because we had just finalized the mission and vision statement and the core values. We'd went through that whole process, and everyone was kind of excited about this. They were happy of the fact that we were maybe going to have a good Christian school after all in our community, and with this, the program is going to be able to move forward. And there was a lot of energy behind it, and the budget got passed no problem at all. The second year was okay as well. And now I forget whether it was, are we in our third year or fourth year of that? fourth year. So the first 3 years was a breeze. The fourth year, which is our current year, and now I hope this is okay with, our other board members are here, and I'm not reflecting negatively on anyone at home, but I want to share with you some of the practical things that can happen in taking this thought process, because now if you're getting your school budget voted on by a larger group of people than your core group, such as your school board and maybe your deacon committee or your pastoral team, you've opened up yourself to some potential problems as well. Because now you have opened up the possibility for people to vote with their pocketbooks about what happens in school. Do you follow that? You follow the potential pitfall there? We thought of that up front, and we acknowledged that concern, but we decided to look at it this way, that you know that's happening anyway. The reality of that is there, whether that structure exists that way or not. Albeit, if you don't take that to a vote to a group that way, you do have the possibility of maybe exerting a little more pressure from the top down, if you will, from the authority, whether it's the school board, whether it's the church, or whoever the leaders may be for the venture, to be able to say, this is what needs to happen, and then put the pressure on the backside to make so that the revenue shows up. And you might be able to limp along that way, but you're going to face the same type of problem. And so we would rather be out front with that, just here it is, and do we have it or don't we have it? When this last round, before we took the budget to our group, we sensed that there was a potentially, we were getting some flack already. You're spending too much per student. And we started hearing language that was not around 4 years earlier when all the energy was there and when everything was moving forward. So we see, as we talked earlier, we live in a real life and things change. Some of the dynamics in our community change. We have a lot of younger families that started looking at this daunting figure per child, and even though it was being funded through the general fund, there's been a lot of teaching on financial responsibility in our group, and so they're making connections in their mind, which is a good thing. And they're saying, well, you know what? If it's going to cost me this much to send my children to school, there's no way I can. I cannot afford that. Hence, that type of school must only be for the elite, and we just can't make it happen. You can understand that as a school board, hearing that kind of language, we're wanting all these young families to send their children to school, and we have a vision of what needs to happen here. But when we start hearing that kind of language, it's like the very thing that we did to promote and to increase the teacher pay, to do the things that needed to do, we did end up with a fairly high budget per student. But the very thing that we tried to do was now a negative thing for us on the backside. And you can have accusations start rolling around, such as the school board's a steamroller. They just do whatever they want to. And do we just always have to sit here and vote yes to everything they want? And there's problems. Real life starts happening. As a school board, we feel that that's okay. The school board don't always have to have their way. The school board is a servant to the people that it's serving. Our patrons should have a say-so into what is happening. And so we're in the middle of this, and I'm just being very transparent with you. We're in the middle of juggling these realities. And so here in a bit when I open it up, I'd really like to hear from you, because I'm hoping to learn more than I teach in this session. There's very practical things that need to be figured out. We need to determine all the financial parameters, such as what are the wage levels? What are we going to pay what's the starting wage for a teacher in our school? For grade school, for high school if you have high school? What's the wages for the seasoned teachers? What are we looking at here? And then we have the curriculum cost. and we have building costs. There's all these different cost centers that come in that we have to look at. And so those decisions need to be made, and they need to be made carefully. And if you were elected to the school board with a fully functional system in place already, you probably have very little say-so. You might find yourself making payments on a school building, and it was a 20-year loan. Well, you probably can't change that midstream. The teacher pay, you already have a precedent of how that's been happening, and other than going up, you probably don't have a whole lot of leeway, so there's a lot of things that are already in place. However, those are decisions that need to be made. So at the end of the year, you make all those decisions and you put those in place, put them on the budget for the following year, and now you're ready to move forward. For a small school, some of these things that I'm saying have a lot more to do and probably more a bigger problem and a bigger issue to work through for small schools. We need to do our due diligence. Seek individual counsel prior to seeking votes. If you're going to take something to vote, make sure that you know where your people are. Make sure that you understand what is going on. Make sure that that you're not in left field. And this part might sound a bit businesslike, but brand your values versus your expenses carefully. And consider well what you're investing. Maybe you are inflated in what you're spending per student. I find it very intriguing the different levels of what it costs to put students through school. And I've never been able to figure out, since I'm not from PA, whether that's the figure of the cost per student in a school is a private figure or not. Can you tell me? Is that a private figure?
No.
It's not? Just interesting to see all the responses. There were some perplexed looks. Some people are very open with that. Other people, it's like, no, that's, you know, something that the committee deals with and we don't much talk about. Well, the range that I have found, and I have a near talk with all your schools here, so I don't know where your school is at, but in the bit of a survey that we have done, if your cost per student is at $250 per month, you're probably on the average to lower end of what it's costing to put your child through school, and I'm talking about grade school. The upper end of that is going to be over $500, and especially for those of you that have high school. For a high school student, you're going to be very quickly, it gets up to that $500 range. Does your experience come somewhere between those two parameters? And I realize that's pretty wide. Okay, is there any of you that are not within between, let's say, $230 and $500? Okay, that's, yes, you're thinking in terms of a year. I always think in terms of a month. Our mathematician's not in the room, is he? and some of...
9 months?
Yes. $2,250. That'd be $250. And then $500 would come out to what? $4,500. Okay, so for those of you that are used to thinking in those terms, you kind of get the gist there. And how many of you work on a 12-month with your teachers versus a 9-month or 8.5-month? Okay, there's a fair bit of that. So, you know, those variables can come in there. So the year figure is what... But it's still the cost per student per month, whether it's over 12. The cost, when I say per month, I'm talking about for the months that the child is in school. Whether you pay that out over 12 months or not is a different issue. So if we find ourselves, what do we do if we have a really, really small school? And we need the same quality of teachers, and maybe you have still have all the grades or most of the grades, but you only have 15 students in school. How do you deal with that? Is there any, maybe we're the only small school represented here. Is there any of you that have, or part of a school that has under 20 students or under 25 students? Okay, there's a few of you here. Okay. So are those of you that are under 25 students, are any of your schools patron funded? No? All general fund? I'd say there's a reason for that.
Our school, we started out with patron ed, and it was a struggle just over and over. Starting a new community, it was hard. And when we went to general, and the people being more established longer, I just was talking about it today that we don't have a financial problem now.
Okay. Yes.
Our church started a couple of outreaches in the last 10 years.
Okay. Wow. Could we be an outreach from your church for a while? Nice. Well, that's very nice. Okay.
Blessed before that.
What was that?
Blessed before that.
Yeah. Maybe your churches up here never have splits. Do you still get to get the teacher pay for your split? We're Anabaptists. We don't like to talk about splits. Let's go on to better things. Well, we can find ourselves in difficult situations. Not all of our little schools have that opportunity, but that is great. There's a good precedent there for a way of thinking that should be incorporated into our Anabaptist people's mindset. Okay. It's interesting to me that it seems like around 25, maybe 20, somewhere between 20 and 25 from there down is where it's just really hard to get your cost per student down just because math is math. If you're going to have at least two teachers and maybe three teachers for that number of students. We have three teachers, two men teachers and one lady teacher. And to maintain that type of budget, it just pushes our cost up considerably. And so it does make a burden. As a board, our argument is that it's an investment that we need to make. It's the reality of the community that we live in. And we need to keep a strong school program going because we have a lot of young families in our church, and there's a lot of students coming up the pike, and so we need to be there for them when they get there. But it's one thing for the school board to think that way, and it's quite another thing for all the brethren in church to think that way. So what do you do with those realities? And I know we're spending some time here on the smaller schools, and that's the questions that we're grappling with, trying to figure out how to deal with. So now let's switch to the larger schools. I think it was you I was speaking with. Would you tell us again how many students you have in school?
In our elementary school, we have 150. In our high school, we have about 80.
High school, about 80, and about 150 in elementary school. Nice size school. So what might some of the, do you ever have any financial challenges? Okay, interesting that you bring up fundraisers. Do you do a fair bit of fundraiser?
One school does a lot more than the other.
Okay, interesting.
Well, I don't know if I support fundraisers, but there's one nice thing about fundraisers. They do bring a pleasantness. Like in our elementary school, we do fundraisers, and it seems like you get to know the people in the school a lot better, the other patrons that way. high school, we don't do any fundraisers, so there's patrons we don't even know.
Okay. Interesting point there.
To bring a working together with other patrons. I know that's not a church school.
May I ask what you do for fundraising?
Bake sale?
Would you come down to Texas and teach us how to do that? There you go. May we? That's something that we're grappling with right now. Do we start fundraisers? What do we do? Let me just tell you a little bit what we did this past year. You know, sometimes we get overzealous as entrepreneurs and you try to beat a problem to the table. And we made that mistake, and I take responsibility for that as a school board chairman. We sensed that we're going to have a problem getting our budget passed. So let's work on this. So we come up with the bright idea. We checked around some, and we heard how some other schools are doing. And so we come up with the bright idea. This is what we're going to do. We're going to take and bring our budget size for the general offering down to what we thought we could get passed for the general fund, and then propose that we put a committee in place to raise the rest of the money, however they need to go about raising it, whether it's fundraisers, whether it's knocking on businesses' doors or wealthy individuals or whatever they need to do to go raise those funds. And we thought that was a pretty good idea to substitute. We'd rather have just the general fund. It's much easier. But if we can't get it, rather than downsizing our budget, let's go this way. And so we talked with our deacon committee and our pastors, and they approved it. And so we tried to take that to the brethren, and wow, we got a backlash. And I think probably that came mostly from that we were trying to beat a problem to the table. It's not like we had voted on the budget and it got turned down. And so now we came back with another hammered out solution to try to fix that. And so it came across to the brethren like the school board is wanting more financial control of what goes on. And so they were asking, well, why can't we just keep it the way it is? And we were like, so maybe this wasn't a problem after all. And so that forced us to talk through issues, and we discovered things through that experience that we might have not discovered some other way. And I want to be careful how much I share here about our problems in school, but life is real, and we face these things, and I embrace those things as simply real life, things that we face, and it put us through something that otherwise we wouldn't have experienced. And I think that we all know each other better now. We know our patrons better. We know some of the young families better, and it was overall, I would say, in the long run, it's going to end up being a positive experience for our group. So it's one aspect of what can happen in dealing with budgets. Okay, we heard from one school, and your school is...
We favored town with the elementary school, high school.
Okay. And all patron funded?
Yeah.
All patron funded. Okay.
It's not run by our churches, so that's why it just has to be patron.
Okay. So there's... It's a school that serves a number of churches. Okay. Is that fairly prevalent here in the East?
It's almost identical to what we do in our school.
Okay.
They're very similar. We have patron funds, but while they cover, the patrons cover about 60% of our budget, which is all salaries, and then the rest is covered by fundraisers and donations and offers.
Okay. And now is your school, though, does it serve just your community or just your church?
No, we have 9 churches. It's community-based.
Okay, 9 churches. Okay. You're Ohio, right?
Yeah.
That's where this event was last year.
Right.
Okay. Yes. Okay. So that must be fairly prevalent. Any others?
I can hear that. Thank you.
taker funded also a lot because it's not just one church. Different churches come in.
Okay. Now is
I will say that there's a few churches that are involved that were patron funded as a school, but some of the churches involved take it on themselves to pay all the tuition.
Oh, okay.
And that's on them. They do it. We just they know how many students are from them, and they raise those funds however they want.
Okay.
Do you make them pay for cost of education or just for the tuition?
That's just tuition. Which has been a problem.
Yeah.
And that's all they offer to get from that school.
Right.
So it's one of those situations of in place, and we tried to change it. We got so much backlash, and we just backed off a little bit.
Our school does the cost of education and the tuition. So as a churches want to pay for it, they pay the cost of education amount, not the tuition amount. Because, that's a problem. We have a couple of churches that decide, hey, we'll pay the tuition, but then they're not going to give any offerings, so you're stuck with whatever the budget is.
We're practical people, and we love practical information. Would you mind sharing, or is that confidential for your school? How much is it per student?
Well, in a high school, it's $4,600 a child, and cost of education is about $5,200.
Okay, so $5,200 per. Okay, you say the tuition is how much?
$4,600.
And so if I'm sending my children there, I pay how much for high school per student?
$4,600.
$3,900. Okay. And that comes out to what over a 9-month period? Somebody have a.
Well, $4,500 comes out to $500 a month.
$500 a month.
What about your elementary?
Our elementary is about $4,000 for
there. So that would come out to what, four? $450?
That's for three students. I think $2,500 might be the cheapest.
Okay, so does it come down per student if the family has more students in school, or no, it's the same across?
Yeah, the first child is, like $2,800, and then I have three children, so that's $4,000 all together. So, that's always a kind of an argument or debate, too, do you?
Oh, that's an interesting nuance there. Okay, so. Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Could I just send my fifth child there? You see, I'm a Mennonite.
Your minister's listening.
He's sitting in the audience. Huh. Okay. So what would it cost me, like in my case, with six children in school, two in high school? $13,000 for the year. Wow. And we spend right at $100 a week in fuel as we're away from school. Ouch. Ouch. Okay, there's some people that must be pretty serious about education. Okay. So let's hear some more input on it. Is there anyone in the room that their cost is significantly more?
I think sometimes when you think the bigger our school is, the cheaper it is. Running businesses, there is a breaking point at each level. But I think pretty well you'll find that it costs a lot. No matter if it's a little school or a big school.
Yes.
When it's a big school, you've got a building and we have the advantage of using the basement of the church. Still costs a lot. I'm here in a school that has, over 100 students. Look what it's cost.
Okay.
Yes, how much difference?
Yeah, those financial breaks don't work well in business either. Tends to be that way. Okay. Well, that's interesting. Okay. Any other input on... on that level, so I'm hearing that probably that 500 and something is kind of the upper end of
of what our people are spending per student.
Do they have credit to teachers?
Do you?
No, just teachers. Do you pick up faith-based variation?
Just. Okay.
I'm not real familiar, but I think they're getting close to
30,000. Is that starting level or is that? Yes.
Depends for the administrator, probably the starting level. Maybe some of the others aren't quite there.
Okay.
That's the high school that pay better than all the elementary school.
So
that's no debt in either schools either.
You're not paying off debt. Okay, that's just operational cost. Okay, so you have,
Right over that question is, do they use a lot of technology in your school, or is it?
Well, in high school, we have a lot of electives, so that gets expensive.
Oh.
So, you know, you're choosing anything from art to basic electricity, to small engines, to wood shop, to grout. That does get expensive, but then you don't have those things in high school, then.
So what I pointed out is even though it's costing, it's a different school than what you can have sometimes with us, you know, 20 students, because you can't actually afford that.
Well, that's what I was going to say. So, maybe what I would get for sending my children to your school, I would get quite a bit more options.
Yeah.
I'd get more value than... Okay. Does anyone in the room know what the public school range is per student per month?
12,000 a year.
12,000 a year?
That's what costs our school district to send that to pay for one child.
Is that busing too?
Yeah.
In Ohio, it's about 5, somewhere in there. That was last year's figures.
Okay. What do they base those figures off of?
Well, I just took the total budget.
Oh, I mean for the public school?
Yeah.
Okay. I did some research on that online. I didn't have a school that I could go ask. And according to this report, the published, like if you just go ask school administrators or you just ask the schools, that's about the range that they're going to say. But the reality of what costs the government is significantly more. And I've not been able to figure out necessarily where that more is going or why it's more. But this report said that the true cost for the government, of course, including what you're saying, is on the lower end around $1,200, I think it was, per month per student. And on the upper end, it was $2,500. That's probably right. Okay, yeah. Okay. And, wow, education is expensive. But maybe not doing education is maybe more expensive. Okay. Well, I would love to hear some more input from, I think maybe we've heard a little bit from the upper end of the schools here, maybe the smaller schools. What about some middle schools here? Schools with maybe 30, 50 students.
Well, just a question in my mind is, I really enjoy sitting with men that have vision for Christian education, and I feel like we have that at our school. But I was at another school in Ohio last weekend, and I was talking with a board member there, and he said it really causes him struggle. And it's a pretty good sized church. It's a church school, and I got the feeling it was a church funded, general fund.
General fund, uh-huh.
But he said, he struggles because he knows that people have money for other things. And he said when they talked to him about just coming off of a 2-week, fairly decent kind of money vacation, but then the money's not coming into the school funds, that caused him a lot of, attitude trouble. We can all relate to that. My question is, in our small church school, we have close to 40, and sometimes I'm not always in connection as a board member with what people actually have to spend. I may think, well, you tend to have biases about your situation, or you just assume that this older brother in the congregation probably has it to give, and he, we're just expecting him to be visionary about our school. But sometimes we have to either seek advice, or maybe we have board members that know more than another board member about what we have going on within our group. And you have to just somehow blend your vision as a board and always be on that pushy edge of it with what the reality is of what you have. If you don't have the incomes there, you're going to have to resort to a fundraiser or something where income pulled in, revenues pulled in from somewhere else than your own people. But if the people themselves need the vision, then you need to work on that side of it.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what you're bringing out there is we need to do a reality check. I mean, if you're asking for funds that don't exist, it's maybe not a vision problem, it's reality. And so then we need to look at other issues. That's important.
One thing I'll just say here is our church wouldn't allow a fundraiser.
Oh.
And so right away, I know where our boundary is there, because we do have church-run school, and the board is subordinate to the church's direction. And so I know right there I'm not getting money from that direction.
So just a question, is that a PA thing? I see. Okay. That's so interesting.
That isn't really so much as we're sitting around and debate that. It's just that we know that's not one way we're going to get revenue. And so that's why
not even an option on the table. Okay. Okay. There's a hand back here. From a Texas perspective or Pennsylvania? From an Anabaptist perspective, I would love to hear some thoughts. That's a good question. You know, that question comes up. Yes. Okay.
We get good responses from it. Typically, we'll bring usually two fundraisers, a spring and a fall fundraiser, and generally generate somewhere around $10,000.
Wow.
Which, so far, we have not actually been using that to offset the cost of operating the school, because we were forced to, we're a new congregation as well, and we were forced to build a new church or a new school.
Okay.
School and build a new church house. So it has kind of helped us. That money goes towards paying off the building loan that we have. And I know I sometimes question that as well, on whether is it right for us to expect community people to support Christian education or our own church school education. But I guess depending on how that's done, I kind of feel like it's okay if we're offering the service of providing something to the community. It's a way to interact with them as well. We've got a lot of positive feedback from them. Also, one thing to keep in mind is we do, after all, also pay for the community children.
I love that. We help pay for theirs.
I'm not saying that that makes it right necessarily, but just in perspective.
Well, I'd have a question on that. Are you, those of you that are doing fundraisers, let's say you're doing a dinner, and so this plate, if I went to a restaurant and got this plate, including the environment and the experience that goes with it, might cost me $15. Are you charging $15 or $30?
We're actually donation basis.
Oh, donation basis. Okay, so you're not... Okay. Is that supposed to mean something?
Okay. There was a hand back here earlier.
I was just going to say, the reason we're not having fundraisers, one good reason is, especially if it's church people, we should be willing to give the money rather than have to give the money for subs or pizza or something. You know, if we're trying to do the fundraiser just for our own people to raise the money, they should be willing to just put it on the put it out in the offering rather than, you know,
you know, there's an aspect there that probably is worth looking at, in that if we have to tap into the consumerist mindset amongst us to fund our schools, there's a problem. So we should keep that in mind. Okay, we got just a minute or two here left. Is there any other burning questions or comments? You know, and I don't understand the background of some of these church decisions, but I venture to say if they'd have to shut the lights off, they'd probably go sell pizza or something to make so they can put the lights back on. So I think sometimes those questions, there's no need in us answering questions that are not even real to us. And I take that some of these questions are probably not sin or not sin questions, their preference and a mindset that we want to build in our community. So I'd say we do well to respect each other. And I mean, there's obviously a wide variety of opinion that we need to work with in working together. There's another hand here. We'll take time for that yet.
Just one question you had earlier. How do you go back and implement this? I've learned one thing. You know, we go to CASB and get excited, listen to y'all all day and get fired up and pumped up and go home. And then you look at the fellows and you try to explain, they look at you kind of like, what were you doing? Or, you know, they don't really. The bridge of it is kind of sometimes difficult. And I think it's just really, it takes time. It takes a lot of time to portray it. It doesn't happen in 1 year. It's line upon line. But I tell you, it's 10 times easier when everybody helps if you try to do it yourself.
Now, I see you look over a little bit. Are they associated with you?
We're close.
Okay, so are you on the same board?
No, we're actually
different. Okay, so you're the only one from your board here?
Yeah, sadly I am.
Oh, that's the first problem. when it was my turn up to bat as a school board chairman, I said, This school has a rule, and that's that the whole school board goes to CASB. And you know, it worked. We all came here and we all got excited, and we're thankful this time to have our pastor with us. And sometimes you have to start really small and one at a time build on that. And it does take a lot of work. It does take a lot of work to one step at a time. Okay, our time is up. Yes, one more question here.
Now, you ask for money when you hand them the CDs, but that can help.
Gotcha. First, I thought it was a joke, but I get it. Thank you. Share the vision. Thanks a lot. You've been a great audience.
For more free resources that support teaching and learning, visit thedocforlearning.org.